ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 4 పాద 1 ఆవృత్యధికరణం. ఆవృత్తి అసకృత్ ఉపదేశాత్ లింగాచ్చ ఆత్మత్వ ఉపాసనాధికరణం. ఆత్మేతి తు ఉపగచ్చంతి గ్రాహయంతి చ ప్రతీకాధికరణం. న ప్రతీకే నహి సహ బ్రహ్మదృష్ట్యాధికరణం. బ్రహ్మదృష్టి ఉత్కర్షాత్ ఆదిత్యాదిమధ్యధికరణం. ఆదిత్యాదిమతయ చ అంగ ఉపపత్తే ఆసీనాధికరణం. ఆసీన సంభవాత్ ధ్యానాచ్చ అచలత్వం చాపేక్ష్య స్మరంతి చ ఏకాగ్రతాధికరణం. యత్ర ఏకాగ్రత తత్ర అవిశేషాత్ ఆప్రయాణాధికరణం. ఆప్రయాణాత్ తత్రాపిహి దృష్టం తదధిగమాధికరణం. తదధికమ ఉత్తర పూర్వాగయోః అశ్లేష వినాశౌ తద్వ్యపదేశాత్ ఇతర సంశ్లేషాధికరణం. ఇతరస్యాపి ఏవం అసంశ్లేషః పాతేతు అనారబ్ధాధికరణం. అనారబ్ధకార్యే ఏవతు పూర్వే తదవధేః అగ్నిహోత్రాధికరణం. అగ్నిహోత్రాదితు తత్కార్యాయైవ తద్దర్శనాత్ అతోన్యాపిహి ఏకేషాం ఉపయోః. వి హావ్ బీన్ సీయింగ్ ది 17th సూత్ర, ఫస్ట్ పాద, ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్, 496th రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. వి సా టు దిస్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ క్లాస్ అండ్ ఐ సెడ్ ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ వన్ మోర్ పాయింట్ రిగార్డింగ్ దిస్ సూత్ర. The one point that I have to add regarding the karmas of a jnani. Shankaracharya adds, he adds a note that the distribution of karma to others should not be taken literally. It is only an arthavada vakya. Arthavada is only glorification for some purpose. It means it's not a fact. In fact, that is also destroyed by jnanam only, and there is no actual distribution. And then why Upanishads talks about this then? The purpose is so that people will worship a jnani for getting his punya. It is more to encourage the people to worship a jnani. Then does that mean if I worship a jnani, punya will be distributed to me? No, for that Bhagavan will give punyam for jnani worshippers. Getting punyam is fact, but getting transferred from jnani is not a fact, because that is given by Bhagavan. Why cannot we take the transference of punyam as a fact? Why do you say transference is figurative? Why not transference? Shankaracharya says somebody's karma cannot be transferred to somebody else. And this occurs in the Vashim of the third chapter, third section, third pada, 26th sutra, that we just read. This mantra we just read actually. So, of this 15th adhikaranam, this is called Hanya adhikaranam. We already saw that Brahma Sutra in the third chapter, third pada. Hanautu upa ayanam shabda seshatvate kushaha chandaha stuti upaganavate. But putras of jnani will take away the worldly properties. A jnani's children, they will take away all the worldly properties. Tasya putraha dayam upayanti suhridaha sadhukrityam dushantaham papakrityam. So that those who worship the jnani in his project, all the good karmas they do, and to them jnani's prarabdha kamya karma punya will go. This also we saw we mentioned it in the last class. The transference of punyam is for glorification and it is not for a fact. then how can someone's punyam or papam be taken by somebody else? It is not possible. Therefore, punyam or papam transfer is only arthavada. But the punyam is given by Bhagavan. Bhagavan will give papam to those who harm a jnani. With this, this adhikaranam is also over. Now let us continue with the next adhikaranam. Vidya Jnana Sadhana Adhikarana. 13th adhikaranam of the 4th chapter. Yadeva Vidyayetihi is the sutra. Yadeva Vidyayetihi, 18th sutra, first part of 4th chapter, 419th, running Brahma Sutra. Now let us see the general introduction to this adhikaranam with only one sutra. The subject matter of this adhikaranam is answering a possible doubt which can come based on the 16th sutra of this particular pada, that is Agnihotra Aditu Tad Karya Yevam Tad Darshanath. That is the sutra, 16th sutra, 495th running Brahma Sutra. We already covered this. Prarabdha Vilakshana Vihita Karma Punyam is utilized for Jnanam. We already saw yesterday. Prarabdha Vilakshana Vihita Karma Punyam is utilized for Jnanam. And in this Janma, whatever Vihita Karma we do will help in our Vedantic study. Conducive atmosphere, conducive good teacher, all those things will come. It will help us to gain Jnanam and also Moksha. Here we give an exception to Vihita Karma, and it is knowledge-friendly Vihita Karma. This means Nitya Naimittika Karma. He uses the word Agnihotra Karma. That is only, we already said Upalakshanam and all that in the last class. It comes under Deva Yajnam and knowledge-friendly. Knowledge-friendly means conducive to gaining Jnana. And what is the controversy here? Somebody wants to know whether the word Vihita Karma means Upasana Sahita Vihita Karma or Upasana Rahita Kevala Karma. Is it combined with meditation, Upasana, or it is a simple karma is the question. And karma here refers to Vihita Karma. Vihita Karma we already told yesterday, Nitya Naimittika Karma and all that. So which karma punyam does Jnanam absorb is the question. And the Purvapakshi says that Upasana Sahita Karma alone is knowledge friendly. And not kevala karma. Just mere karma is not knowledge friendly. But upasana sahita karma alone is knowledge friendly. Kevala karma does not help a person at all. Siddhanta says kevala karma is also knowledge friendly only. So Purvapakshi says kevala karma does not help a person. Whereas Siddhanti says kevala karma is also knowledge friendly only. Why should Purvapakshi then argue like that, in that manner, that kevala karma does not help a person? Purvapakshi, in our tradition, we have to understand. So we should not just discount a Purvapakshi. He is a very informed person. Speculative, wild objections are not there in our tradition at all. So Purvapakshi also, whenever he makes an objection, there also he is making informed objections. Here, the Purvapakshi quotes a well-known vakyam from Chandogya Upanishad, first chapter, first section, 10th mantra. This also we know, all these mantras earlier also. Yadevam vidyaya karoti shraddayam upanishadam tadeva viryavattaram bhavati. Iti khalu yetasya eva aksharasya upavyakyanam bhavati. Knowledge and ignorance, however, they both are different. What indeed one performs with knowledge, faith and meditation. That is vidya shraddaya, with shraddha, with faith, and then and meditation, that alone becomes more powerful. So this is the explanation of this particular syllable, Om, and all that thing was described at that time. So Yadeva refers to Vidya Karma here, Yadeva. Vidyaya, Vidyaya represents here Upasanena Saha, with meditation. So whatever Vidya Karma is done along with meditation is what is meant there. Tadeva, that combination, that is Upasana Sahita, that karma, Viryavattaram Bhavati, that alone becomes more powerful, Viryavattaram Bhavati, and more efficacious. From this it is clear, ritual meditation combination, karma and meditation, Upasana combination is glorified by the Vedas. That is what is evident by this particular vakya. Because the combination is glorified, we should conclude that combination is recommended. When it is glorified, we should now conclude combination is recommended, and therefore combination is conducive to knowledge. Combination means what? Here, upasana and ritual combination. It is conducive to knowledge also. So the single one kevala karma without combination cannot be jnana upayogi. And therefore, according to Purvapakshi, the 16th sutra must be interpreted properly. He says, the word agnihotradi, according to him, is upasana sahita agnihotra. It is not just kevala agnihotra, but it is upasana sahita agnihotra. That alone will give phala. Who says? Purvapakshi says. Siddhanta is given in this sutra. That kevala karma is also conducive to knowledge is what Siddhanti says. Kevala karma also is conducive to jnana. This is the Siddhanta given here in this sutta. And what is the pramanam for that? Vyasacharya says, I have got two pramanams. One is what? One is your own vakyam. Purvapakshi quoted this Chandogya vakyam. He says, your own vakyam is one pramanam for me. Yadeva vidyaya karoti. That is what was said in that mantra in Chandogya. And Vyasacharya says, read the mantra properly. The statement says, karma done with meditation is more efficacious. Ritual with meditation is more efficacious. Means ritual without meditation is less efficacious. We have to put it, understand it that way. It is not at all, it is not say it's not efficacious. It is less efficacious because ritual with meditation is said more efficacious. And here ritual without meditation is less efficacious. And Shankaracharya asks, less efficacious also is efficacious only. It is only a gradation. Problem is in gradation only and no controversy regarding the efficacy. There is only a gradation in efficacy. So both give punyam and therefore both are conducive to knowledge with meditation, without meditation. This is pramanam number one. Then the second pramanam is again from the fourth chapter, fourth section, 22nd mantra, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the fourth brahma. Tametam, this also mantra we have used it many times. Tametam Vedanu Vachanena Brahmanaha Vividishanti Yajnena Danena Tapasa. Yesterday also we quoted the same mantra. And in this vakyam, the Upanishad clearly says all the sadhanas, they will help in moksha. Since jnana is separately and independently enumerated, you have to accept that kevala karma is also conducive to knowledge. Means yajna is separately and independently, because yajnana danena tapasa, yajna is separate, yajna is karma. So yajna is separately, independently enumerated. Here, one has to accept that kevala karma is also conducive to knowledge. Yajna is kevala karma, ritual. So this is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Iti hi means based on the statement, yadeva vidyaya. This is in inverted commas, referring to the Chandogya Upanishad Vagyam 1.1.10. First chapter, first section, 10th mantra. But it says, tena ubhav purtaha yahacha eta devam veda yascha na veda. Nana tu vidyacha avidyacha yadeva vidyaya karoti shraddaya upanishadam tadeva viryavattaram bhavati. Iti kalu etasya eva aksharasya upavyakkanam bhavati. This mantra we just read. So the karmas are rituals, which is done with meditation, upasana sahita rituals is more efficacious. Viryavattaram bhavati. We conclude that karma without meditation is also efficacious, but maybe less efficacious, but it is still efficacious. Based on the statement, karma with meditation is more efficacious. Karma without meditation is also efficacious. Therefore, agnihotradi in the 16th sutra, both kevala karma and upasana sahita agnihotra as conducive to knowledge. Both are conducive to knowledge. And the significance of the words also, let us see. Here, yadeva vidyaya. Vyasacharya himself uses the word iti. Iti in this sutra, that indicates Chandogya Upanishad Vakya. The word iti indicates the quotation that we just read from Chandogya. Yadeva Vidyaya. That is incomplete. That particular sentence itself is incomplete. And he expects us to full vakyam in the sutra. Yadeva Vidyaya is incomplete. So we have to fill it up. He means based on, supported by, based on Chandogya Vakya. That is what we should bring it. So we derive this conclusion. What is the conclusion? Upasana Sahita Karma is also efficacious. Kevala Karma also is efficacious. The first one is more and second one is less efficacious. The indirect idea conveyed is what? To the sadhaka, to the upasaka is what? You can get chitta shuddhi through your duties, whether you do upasana or not upasana. Whether your duties are done with upasana, without upasana, you will get still chitta shuddhi. But mere performance of duties also will give you chitta shuddhi. That is the idea here. Now let us go to the next adhikarma. This is what Siddhanti says. Let us go to the next adhikarma and Sutra 19. 14th adhikaranam. Itara kshapanadhikaranam. Here, after enjoying the fruits of the prarabdha karmas, the benefits of the prarabdha, the knower, he becomes one with Brahman is what they said in this sutra, in this particular adhikaranam. Bhogenatu itare kshapayitva sampadyate. Bhogenatu itare kshapayitva sampadyate. 19th sutra, 4th pada, 4th, 2nd pada, 4th adhyaya. So, the having exhausted by all enjoyment, the sukha-dukkhas, all that, the other two works, that is good and evil works, that have started to give the phalam. He becomes, after having exhausted all of them, this person becomes one with Brahma. That is what is indicated in this sutra. Now let us give the general introduction to this adhikaranam. This is a small adhikaranam with only one sutra and is also the final adhikaranam of the first pada of fourth chapter. And the subject matter of this adhikaranam is based on the question that may arise after reading the 15th sutra. 19th sutra, the sutra that we just read, has connection with 15th sutra. What was the 15th sutra? Anarabdha karye yevatu purve tad avadehe. That was the 15th sutra. So 15th sutra said that jnanam destroys only prarabdha vilakshana karmani. Once the sutra says jnana destroys non-prarabdha karma, prarabdha vilakshana karmani refers to non-prarabdha karmas, that is jnanam does not destroy prarabdham. This is implied in the 15th sutra that we already saw in the last class. Naturally, the question will be, if jnanam does not destroy prarabdha, what will happen to prarabdha? If jnanam, even after gaining knowledge, a jivan mukta is there, he gained knowledge. Even if prarabdha, if it is after gaining knowledge also, if knowledge is not destroyed, prarabdha is not destroyed, what will happen to that? So this question is important because karma is an obstacle to moksha. And as long as karmas are not destroyed, karma will be an obstruction to jnanam, moksha and jnanam. For that, the answer is given in this sutra. And the next two adhikaranams are called incidental adhikaranams. They are called prasangikata adhikaranam. So relevance, there is relevance, contingency adhikaranams, not required for the flow of the subject itself. So they are called prasangikata. So that kind of adhikaranam they are. And what is the right flow of the adhikaranam then after the 11th adhikaranam? That is anarabdha adhikaranam. That is the 11th adhikaranam. What should be the right flow? After this adhikaranam, we have to read the 14th adhikaranam. That is itara kshapanadhikaranam that we just saw. That should be read after this adhikaranam. So what happens to prarabdha is the question. And the answer is given here. What is the answer given here? Prarabdha is exhausted only by experiencing the pleasures and pains. Prarabdha is not destroyed by jnanam. Prarabdha is exhausted only by experiencing the pleasures and pains. There is no way out at all. By gaining jnanam, one cannot escape prarabdha. It has to be exhausted. Now, what about the prayaschittas meant for prarabdha? There are so many prayaschittas. Yesterday also I mentioned this. Prayaschittas are meant for prarabdha. What about those? We should know whether we talk about a jnani or a jnani. The moment you talk about prayaschitta, we should know about whom we are talking. We are talking about a jnani or a jnani. In case of a jnani, we do not talk about any prayaschitta or parihara of karma at all. In the case of a jnani, we talk about prarabdha exhaustion only. And we don't talk of the topic of parihara for them, prayaschitta for them. We should not mix it with prarabdha of an ajnani. Some of the prarabdha we can exhaust by doing parihara for the ajnani. In the case of ajnani, we allow the person to do parihara, prayaschitta. And best thing to do is to gradually reduce prayaschitta karma also ultimately. The aim is what? Gradual reduction of all the prayaschitta karmas. And once one comes to Vedanta, then he should reduce all the pariharas. He exhausts the karma. And here the discussion is of a jnani, not of an ajnani. Therefore, Vyasacharya says, prarabdha is exhausted. And this is one point considered in this adhikaranam. And once the prarabdha is exhausted, the obstacle of merging with Brahman is gone. Because that was an obstacle that is gone. So Sanchita Karma is burnt, Agami is avoided, and prarabdha is exhausted. The last obstacles of prarabdha is gone, and he can now happily merge with Brahman. Even though we say Jivatma merging with Paramatma, after exhaustion of prarabdha, that is from the point of view of what? Videha Mukti, which happens only after prarabdha exhaustion. So when we say Jivatma merging with Paramatma, after exhaustion of prarabdha, that forms when? From the point of view of the Videha Mukti only, which happens after prarabdha exhaustion. Freedom from Shariram. Videha Mukti is what? Freedom from Shariram. That is possible only after the prarabdha is exhausted. Jivan Mukti requires prarabdha. Jivatma Mukti does not require prarabdha going because it coexists with prarabdha. We don't have to think of prarabdha going away because it coexists with prarabdha. Prarabdha is what? Sukham, Dukkha, Anubhavas. And Jivan Mukti means freedom. And how can Jivan Mukti and Sukha, Dukkha, Anubhava can coexist? Their question is, how can one with a disease can claim I am Jivan Mukta? This is who asked? Purupakshi asked. How can a person with some disease and so much of Dukkha Mandal can claim I am a Jivan Mukta? It can coexist if one understands Sukha, Dukkha, Anubhava as Mithya. They can coexist only when? Only when one understands that the experiences of sukham and dukham, they are only mithya or vyavahara satyam, and oneself as paramarthika satyam. So when the jivan mukta, he himself thinks of him, that is paramarthika satyam, whereas all the sukha dukha anubhava, they are all vyavaharika satyam. So when jivan mukta says with the diseases in the body, it is because of two tier philosophy he has. Vyavahara disease and paramarthika ananda. Don't say paramarthika disease also. Vyavahara disease and vyavahara disease and paramarthika ananda. Once prarabdha is exhausted, then Brahma aikyam is attained. Prarabdha is exhausted, Brahma aikyam is attained. This is the general analysis of the sutra. So the first part talks of the exhaustion of prarabdha in the sutra. And it is exhausted by Sukha Dukkha Anubhava. And how can Jnani have Sukha Dukkha Anubhava? That is another question also. People ask this question. How can Jnani have Dukkha Anubhava? It is because of his papam. Then we are shocked. How can we have Jnani have papam? Right? Remember, when we say Jnani has papam, it is not performed after becoming Jnani. All should be understood very, very clearly. When we say Jnani has papam, This is not, this is papam not performed after becoming a jnani, and that which he did before becoming a jnani are in his purva janma. So in saying that, we need not have any difficulty at all. We talk of purva kala papam of jnani when he was an ajnani at that time. Purva kala papa was there. Fructifying papams can give unimaginable problems even for a jnani. We do not expect this at all, because we think jnani is beyond all that. All this happens because of prarabdha. This is said by Vyasacharya here. So when it gives trouble, the whole world is disturbed, but jnani is not disturbed. When it gives, means of prarabdha gives trouble, whole world is disturbed, but jnani is not disturbed, since he is able to see the hand of prarabdha in every one of those experiences. He knows this will go away. He is not worried, because sanchita is destroyed, agami is avoided, prarabdha has to be exhausted. He does not mind experiencing the current prarabdha. That is the jnani. When prarabdha is exhausted, all the three karmas are gone. That is sanchita karma, agami karma, and prarabdha karma. When they are all gone, death of a jnani is death of the three shariams. This is very important. When the jnani dies, it is the death of the three shariams, stula shariram, sukshma shariram, and karana shariram. Whereas when ajnani dies, only his stula shariram dies. When jnani dies, three shariams die. Because karma is the bond which keeps the sukshma shariram, karana shariram as a unit. Just as, for example, if you take an iceberg remains with low temperature and gets dissolved when the temperature rises. The bonding temperature is gone and the bond goes away. Jivan Mukta goes and becomes Videha Mukta. This is the general analysis of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. The sutra is what? Bhogena tu itare kshapayitva sampadyate. Bhogena tu itare kshapayitva sampadyate. 19th sutra, first pada, fourth chapter, 496, 19th sutra. Tu means however. Kshapayitva itare, after exhausting the other karma. Kshapayitva itare, other karmas itare. Kshapayitva, exhausting the other karmas. Prarabdha punyam or papa karmas, after exhausting them. Bhogena. Bhogena means by going through the experiences. Pleasure, pain, all kinds of experiences. Sampadyate. The jnani merges into Brahman. Now let us see the significance of the words. Itare. Itare refers to the other. The other means other than. Now we have to go to the 15th sutra where prarabdha vilakshana karma was mentioned. Anarabdha karye yevatu purve tadavadehe. That sutra we just saw, 15th sutra. So we have to go to that sutra. The other means other than, as mentioned in the 15th sutra. Where prarabdha vilakshana karma was mentioned. So anarabdha karye vilakshana, other than non-prarabdha karma, that means prarabdha karma. Anarabdha punye, punya pape itaraha. Both punyam and papam. Kshapayitva, exhaustion. Kshi means exhaustion, therefore exhausting all of them. Tu means however. It is used to differentiate prarabdha from others. While others are destroyed, sanchita and agami are destroyed, prarabdha is not destroyed. Bhogena, by becoming a bhokta, and bhokta means mithya here. Bhokta means mithya. You have to understand, karta, bhokta, they are all mithya. Tena means by means of bhoga, tena, sampadyate. At the end of the exhaustion, jnani merges. Sampadyate, at the end of exhaustion of prarabdha, jnani merges. It is Brahma Aikyam. Sampadyate is actually Upanishadic expression. Sampadye means is used in Chandogya Upanishad, we have seen this. Then finally, there is one more aside point also I will just mention here. When we say Jivan Mukta, he merges with Brahman, we should know it is not actual merger. It is like the Ghatakasha merging with Mahakasha. When the pot is broken, the part is broken, we say Ghatakasham merges Mahakasha. There is no movement or change in the part space at all. And if at all there is change in our vision only. Previously, we called it part space. And now we call it total space. Same way, the Jivan Mukti is enclosed consciousness. And Videha Mukti is unenclosed consciousness. And the difference is in observer's mind only. And it is not there for the Jnani. Consciousness with body or without body is attaining liberation. When with this the first pada is also over. Now a bird's eye view, let us quickly see of the first pada of fourth chapter. A quick summary. So in the first pada, there are 14 adhikaranams. In the first pada, there are 14 adhikaranams. And of them, 8 topics belong to the previous chapter. Previous chapter is third chapter. What was third chapter? Sadhana Adhyaya. We already, this is Faladhyaya. That is Sadhana Adhyaya. And the first 8 adhikaranams talked about Dhyanam and Nididhyasana. The first 8 adhikaranams of this chapter, this pada, they talked about Dhyanam and Nididhyasanam. And Nididhyasanam and Upasana. They commander what? Commander Sadhana only. So Shankaracharya doesn't say why it is done like that. But sub-commentators, they justify the mistake of adding the Sadhana Adhyaya in the fourth chapter, which is supposed to be Faladhyaya. So one of them give this argument. And that sub-commentator says, when we talk about Phalam, we will talk about the superiority of Phalam, that is Moksha. And also the gradation of liberation. Gradation of liberation also, we know, Krama Mukti, Sadhya Mukti and all that thing. So when we say gradation in moksha, it is caused by gradation in the sadhanas. We have seen, we made this argument earlier also in some other context. So the qualitative difference in phalam are dependent on qualitative differences in the sadhana. So to indicate this, sadhana is included in phala adhyaya is what these commentators say. Not important to us, but just for the sake of understanding. That such a commentator also gave such a comment. The first 8 topics go with sadhana topics, and the next 6 topics, 9 to 14, they deal with mukti phalam belonging to jnanis. Upasakas also will get mukti, krama mukti rupena. They also get mukti, but not sadhya mukti. They will get krama mukti. And to differentiate this, we say jnanis is jivan mukti, other is krama mukti. And this Jivan Mukti also is again of two types. One is Karma Nivritti and Samsara Nivritti and merger with Brahma. Karma Nivritti, Samsara Nivritti and merger with Brahma. Dukkha Nivritti is emphasized in Prathama Pada and Sukha Prapti is talked in fourth Pada. You see that the Prathama Pada talked about Dukkha Nivritti. And Sukha Prapti is talked about in the fourth pada. So this is how the fourth adhyaya is structured. And the second and third pada, they deal with upasakas. This is the topic of Prathama Pada. Now we will enter into Brahma Sutra, chapter 4, pada 2. First adhikaranam here is called Vagadhikaranam. At the time of death, the functions of the organs are merged in the mind, is the substance of this adhikaranam. Vang manasi darshana chabdacha. Vang manasi darshanate chabdacha is the sutra. First sutra, second pada, fourth chapter, 497th running Brahma Sutra. Speech, walk, is merged in mind, vang manasi, because it is the so seen darshanate. And there are scriptural statements also, Shabda. Shabda refers to Vedavakyam, scriptural statements, Shabda Chaya, to that effect. So this sutra says that speech merges in the mind at the time of death. Speech merges in the mind at the time of death. Now let us enter into the second pada. It has 11 adhikaranams and 21 sutras. The second and third pada, both of them deal with upasakas, krama mukti. Krama Mukti, as the word shows, talks of liberation in gradual status, in a krama, gradual stages. So various stages are involved in Krama Mukti. First is what? Jiva of the Upasaka leaves the physical body. So departure is the first stage, which is unique to Upasaka. And it does not happen in the case of a Jnani. Upasaka and Jnani, we are saying, not other people. It's unique to Upasaka with departure. In the case of a Jnani, it does not happen. In the case of a Jnani, it is the case of merger. There it is departure, it is merger. In the case of Upasaka, it is departure. And the coming out of the body, the jiva consisting of what? Stula shariram, sukshma shariram, and karana shariram. But stula shariram is dropped. So sukshma shariram, karana shariram. So this is called utkranti. The utkranti is the departure. So the second stage is called gatihi. And the gati, it is in shukla marga, shukla gati. This is the special path, shukla gati. First is utkranti, then there is special path gati. And one road is there for special upasakas. There's a special road for upasakas alone. That is called shukla gati, shukla marga. And the third stage is brahma loka prapti. So departure, then gati, and then Brahmaloka Prapti is the third stage, reaching the destination of Brahmaloka. Departure, travel, and reaching. And the fourth stage is gaining Nirguna Brahma Aikya Jnanam. What is that? Aham Brahma Asmi. Fourth stage is Nirguna Brahma Aikya Jnanam, Aham Brahma Asmi. So the Upasaka has to gain this knowledge. Because they have not gained Jnanam in this life, so he has to gain the same in Brahmaloka. So fourth stage is jnana prapti. And then the fifth stage is at the time of pralayam, all the devatas including Brahmaji merge into Brahman. And at that time, this upasaka also will merge. Along with Brahmaji, they will merge with Brahman. So thus there are the several stages. And of these five stages, second pada concentrates on utkranti, departure, the pada of upasakas. And the third pada talks about Shukla Gati, Pradhana Pada, it is, talks about Shukla Gati, the travel, Shukla Gati. So the various devatas, how do they travel, where all they will stop in that, during that travel, rest areas, all that. They all will be highlighted in that place. So before a person reaches Brahmaloka. Now let us introduce the first Adhikaranam here. It is a small Adhikaranam with two sutras. And it analyzes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, 8th section, 6th mantra. And that mantra deals with utkranti, departure. And how the mantra reads as, asya somyam purushasya prayataha vang manasi sampadyate manaha prane pranaha tejasi tejaham parasyam devataya. That is the mantra. We read this mantra earlier also. And the essence of this mantra is when Ajnani dies, what happens to him? When an Ajnani dies, not Jnani. When an Ajnani dies, what happens to him? Ajnani includes Upasaka also. You should not take it Upasaka as a Jnani. We should be careful. Upasaka is not a Jnani. He is still a Sadhaka only. So whenever we say Upasaka is Ajnani, he is Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Ajnani. We should understand that clearly. When we say he is an Ajnani, he is Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Ajnani. All other lay people are all, they are also Ajnanis. So the mantra talks about all Ajnanis in general, which includes Upasaka also, who is Jivatma Paramatma Aikya Ajnani. So all the Sukshma Shariram, they gradually withdraw from respective golakams. All these golakams, indriyams and all, you should be very familiar. For example, the eye that you see physically is called a golakam, and the power of sight is called indriya. So they all, the sukshma shariram, the indriyams, they all, the power of sight, they all withdraw from respective golakams. And as an example, one organ is mentioned here. And what is that organ? The vag indriyam, the power of speech. That gets withdrawn into the mind at the time of death. So only mentally speech is possible at that time, not vocally. So many things I want to say, but mouth does not cooperate at that time. Therefore, what happens? Upanishad says, Vak is withdrawn into the mind. Vak indriyam is withdrawn into the mind. This indicates all sense organs withdraw into the mind. So here vak indriyam is only upalakshanam. Mind withdraws into then tejas tattvam, and different meanings are given for tejas tattvam. So the temperature is there in the body. So thought is all gone and only life is there. Tejas merges into Ishvara. For us, what is relevant here is what? Vag manasi sampadyate. We are talking about vag indriya merging with manas. Therefore, this is called vag adhikaram. And what do you mean by vag merger into manas? As we said, it talks about what happens to the vag of a dying person. A person is in the deathbed. What happens to his vag indriya? That is what it's talking about here. So for analysis, the Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam is taken, the mantra that we just read, 6.8.6. It talks about the laya of parts or the limbs of the dying person, various parts, they are all going away. The resolution of various constituents of the individual is discussed here. And this resolution is talked about in four stages in this mantra. He Saumya Asya Pratayaha, Purushasya Pratayaha, the dying person, the one who is going to die. The context is a dying Ajnani. For him, organ resolution takes place. That is what is discussed here, how the organs resolutions takes place. Mind resolves into prana. Prana resolves into tejas. And fourth stage, tejaha parasyam devatayam. That is what is said in this mantra. These are the four layams or resolution. The vak resolves into mind, and mind resolves into prana, and prana resolves into tejas, tejas tattvam, agni tattvam, and tejas resolves into paradevata. So we analyze the first stage in this adhikaram. What is first stage? Vak resolving into the mind. That is what is discussed in this particular sutra. Why should this topic come in the Brahma Sutra at all? There must be some controversy. Otherwise, it won't come into Brahma Sutra. Here, what is the controversy? The controversy is, what is the meaning of the word vak? The word vak can have two meanings. And one is vak indriyam, the name of the organ of speech. And the second meaning of the word vak is the function, vritti of the indriyam. The function of the indriyam, another one is the name of the organ of speech. So one meaning refers to the substance itself, and the second one refers to the function itself. For example, when we say the fan is not there, when we say there's a room very hot, there is no fan. When you say it means what? Fan is not there, physically fan is not there, and the second one is fan is not functioning. So one is dravya abhava and the other is dravya kriya abhava. When Upanishad says vak resolves into the mind, does it mean indriyam resolves or the only the function stops? These are the questions. Speaking action stops. Which one is meant by the Upanishad is the controversy here. And the Purvapakshi says that vag indriya laya is mentioned in this Upanishad Vakyam. Vag indriya laya is mentioned in this Upanishad Vakyam. That is what Purvapakshi says. Whereas Siddhanti says, sense organs do not resolve into the mind. Only the function resolves into the mind. Sense organs do not resolve into the mind. This is the subject matter of this Adhikaram. Now let us do the general analysis of this sutra. And Vyasacharya says, vag indriya pravritti, the function of vag indriyam, the function of vag indriyam resolves into the mind. So for arriving at this conclusion, he gives two reasons. One is darshanat shabdacha. Darshanat means we see that in a dying person. When you observe a dying person, what happens? Towards the time of death, the mind function continues. So that's the time of death. Mind function continues. Thoughts continue. the speech is gradually withdrawn. In a dying person, his mind function continues, thoughts continue in him, but the speech is gradually withdrawn. This is indicated by what? By the tears rolling down the upon the cheek, the eyes. Speech gradually becomes weaker and withdrawn. So he is not able to speak. So tears roll down. We cannot say it is vag indriyam, since we do not perceive the indriyam resolving into the mind. Indriyam belongs to what? Indriyam belongs to sukshma shariram. And we cannot see where does it resolve. You cannot see sukshma shariram. Where does it resolve? Definitely you cannot see. Because for speech resolution, we have an anubhava pramanam. When the speech resolves, speech doesn't come, reflects through tears and all that. This is the first reason. And the second reason is shabdachyan. This is darshanachyan, when you really see all of them. And shabdachyan, we have shruti pramanam also. Shabda is shruti pramanam. That says, walk resolves into mind. And the word walk has got also two meanings. One is indriyam and another is indriya vritti, function. The word walk has both meanings. If you take indriya vrittehe layaha, we have shruti pramana. Then Purvapakshi says, you are very smart. You say the second meaning is indriya vritti, for which shruti pramanam is there. Then Purvapakshi, he can argue, if I claim indriyam resolves into the mind, and I also have got shruti pramanam for that. When the word walk has got both the meanings, one meaning supports the Purvapakshi, the other meaning supports Siddhanti. So when Shruti equally supports both Purvapakshi and Siddhanti, how can Siddhanti claim it supports only them? One is called Karana Vitpatti and the second is called Bhava Vitpatti. Bhava Vitpatti means speech function. And Shankaracharya says, even though both meanings are grammatically right, our interpretation only is right. That's what Shankara claims. In this context, function alone should be taken into account and not the indriyam. And what is the rule? When different meanings are possible, we have to choose that meaning which has the support of reasoning. He always told it should be pratyaksha, shruti, and anubhava pramanam and yukti pramanam. It should be supported by reasoning, logic. And Shankaracharya says, indriyam vak cannot resolve into the mind. Indriyam vak indriyam cannot resolve into mind. Mind is also another sukshma shariram. Indriyam only. It is antar indriyam. It is logically untenable. According to reasoning and experience, anything will resolve into where? Only into its material cause alone. Anything will resolve only into its material cause alone. Karyam karane liyate. If ornaments are melted, it will all dissolve into what? Into gold only and not into wood. If tree dissolves, it will go into mud only, the earth. If this basic law is remembered, indriyam cannot resolve into mind, because mind is not the material cause of indriyam. That is why during pralayam also, we say the panchabhudas, they dissolve in the reverse order. Karya karana sambandha is there. Laya takes place in the reverse order. Indriyam does not dissolve, remains in the ajnani. The ajnani doesn't, it is remaining in the ajnani. Indriya vritti dissolves in the mind. Function of indriyam dissolves in the mind, but indriyam does not. Then the Purvapakshi says, if you apply your logic, you will have a problem also. You argue that indriyam does not dissolve into the mind, since the mind is not material cause of indriyam. Okay. Indriya vritti dissolves into the mind. And they don't have karya karana sambandha. Indriyam alone is upadana karana. So indriya vritti cannot dissolve into the mind because of the same logic also that he says. Purvapakshi. Just as you say indriyam cannot dissolve into mind, as it is not upadana karanam, indriya vritti also cannot dissolve into mind, as it is not upadana karanam also. Indriya vritti also cannot dissolve into the mind for the same reason. Further, Shankaracharya argues that indriyam cannot dissolve into mind, but indriya vritti can dissolve into the mind. Indriya cannot, but indriyam vritti can dissolve into mind. substance can dissolve into the material cause and it cannot dissolve into the non-material cause. Substance can dissolve. Okay, substance can dissolve only in material cause, but it cannot dissolve into non-material cause. With regard to the function, vritti, that rule is not there. Function of a substance need not dissolve into the material cause. The function of any substance need not dissolve into the material cause. For if you, for example, pour water on fire, you don't experience the heat. The heat is gone. Now, Shankaracharya asks the question, do you say fire dissolves in the water or the heat dissolves into the water? I hope the question is clear. When you pour water in the fire, then you don't experience heat anymore because heat is gone. Now, Shankaracharya asks the question, do you say fire dissolves in the water or the heat dissolves into the water? Fire cannot dissolve into the water. Fire is not a product of water. And on the other hand, water is the product of fire. Agne rapaha. So, still the heat is removed because the water has absorbed the burning pravritti, the function, burning function, heat. It has dissolved into the water. The burning pravritti, the vritti, namely the function of heat, dissolved into the water. So the law we learn from this is what? A thing can dissolve only into the material cause and the function of the thing can dissolve elsewhere also. Material cause only you need for the thing to dissolve. But for the function, it can dissolve elsewhere also. Fire cannot dissolve into the water, but burning function, namely the heat of fire, can dissolve in water. Vak indriya pravritti can dissolve into the mind. Vak indriyam cannot, but vak indriya pravritti function can dissolve. Function is what? Speech can dissolve into the mind. And our controversy is the Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam that we just read. It says, vak dissolves into the mind. Asya somya purushasya prayato vang manasi sampadyate. Vang manasi. Our confusion is vag indriyam or vag vritti. That was the confusion. And Vyasacharya writes the sutra to remove this confusion. But the sutra itself is not quite clear. Question is, how do you say Vyasacharya means vag indriya vritti or vag indriyam? He has used the same confusing word. Purvapakshi asks Sankara, how do you know Vyasa supports your meaning? This is Purvapakshi, he doesn't leave. How do you claim that this is the meaning Vyasacharya has given? Shankaracharya says, Vyasacharya means only what I say. He says, Vyasa meant vritti and not indriyam, function and not indriyam. Because later there is another sutra which comes in the same second padam, that's the 16th sutra, that says, Avibhago Vachanath. That is the sutra. 16th sutra of second pada, we are going to deal with it, the same chapter, Avibhago Vachanat. Here we discuss here, a jnani's death. There Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya make it very clear that the solution is indriya. When we read this sutra, we analyze it in detail. There it clearly says that the solution is indriyam only. So, therefore, in this sutra for the Upasaka, you should be indriya vritti only and not indriya. If for both of them the same type of laya, for jnani and ajnani, that the word vak in the sutra, vak vritti only for both of them. If it is jnani and ajnani, the vak in the sutra should look to vak vritti only. This is the general analysis. Now let us do the word analysis also. I will be able to do it, I guess. Vak means we have to supply at the time of death the function of speech. Vak is function of speech at the time of death. Manasi dissolves into the mind. Darshanat, this is known by observation. Cha sabdat, and also through scriptural statements. The significance of the words, let us see that. Vak, we have to take here bhava vitpatti, as I mentioned earlier, the only the bhava, the function. We are not referring to organ, but we refer to the function. And the next word is manasi. Manasi means in or into the mind. Dissolves into the mind. Darshanat, this is experienced in others. So the mind function continues for a long time, even after the withdrawal of sensory functions. The mind feelings at the time of death, that cannot be shared. As speech is gone, cannot be shared. Maybe expresses through tears and all that. So in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, fourth chapter, fourth Brahmanam, second mantra, Eki Bhavati Na Pashyati Ityahuhu, Eki Bhavati Na Jikrati Ityahuhu, Eki Bhavati Na Rasayata Rasayati Ityahuhu, Eki Bhavati, that same idea is conveyed there also. This is Shruti Pramana. We mean the word walk has got the meaning of function only. Really speaking, Purvapakshi does not have logical support at all. Even though he says all that, he doesn't have logical support at all. Word walk has got the meaning of function only and not indriyam. Therefore, walk, even though it has got both the meanings, our conclusion is it does not support Purvapakshi's view. The logical basis is not there for the Purvapakshi. And the cha means and the conjunction. It is joining the two supports. With this sutra is also over. Now there is one more sutra, Anvagadhikaranam. I think maybe I can slide to address that also. Ata evacha sarvanyanu. That is the sutra. Ata evacha sarvanyanu. 498th sutra. Second sutra, second pada, fourth chapter. Let us give a brief general analysis of the sutra. Here the doubt is, the Upanishad says, vak manasi sampadyate. And the question is, Upanishad is referring to one indriyam, vak, but vak is only one kanmendriyam, and there are five jnanendriyams also, there are so many indriyams. What about their indriya vrittis? Vak vritti we talked about. What about the indriya vritti of all the other indriyas? Whether they also resolve or not? All the other sensory functions also resolve into the mind. The proof for that is ataha eva. I don't want to give you a separate proof, this itself. Vyasacharya said, I'm not saying. He says ataha eva. Two proofs I have already given in the previous sutra. They may be taken here also. As speech goes, all other functions also go away. Even as we grow old, other organs become weaker and weaker. And our experiences, they prove that. We don't need somebody to tell us. Shruti Pramanam also is there. So Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam also doesn't support you because it talks of Vagindriya. Chandogya Upanishad cannot be your Vakyam, Purvapakshi says, because about other Vakyams it doesn't say. And Shankaracharya says, another Shruti support is given in Anatar Upanishad, Prashnopanishad, in the third chapter, ninth mantra. He quotes that here. Tejohava udanaha tasmat upashanta tejaham punarbhavam indriyehi manasi sambadhyamanaihi. The fire is the udana prana. The meaning of the mantra is, therefore, he whose fire of life has ceased, means died, it ceased, he goes to rebirth with his senses sunk in the mind, withdrawn into the mind. When Jivatma goes to the next body, the Jivatma goes with sense organs which have dissolved into the mind. From that we come to know that all the 10 sense organs get dissolved into the mind at the time of death. Not just only Vagindriyam, all the other 10 organs also. Sense organs means Indriya Vritti dissolves into the mind. Now let us do the word analysis also quickly. Ata eva, due to the same reason only, Sarvani cha. The functions of all other organs also, anu. Anu means resolved into the mind. The significance of the word is ataha eva, because of the same reasons only, the reasons given in the previous sutra. Vak vritti layaha. We saw in the vak vritti, the functionality of vak, speech, that resolves into mind. Darshana sabdacha. Only we have to make a note that there is nothing special and it is experience. When you say shabdat, Sabdat means the Prashnopanishad Pramanam here. In this particular case, the Shabda refers to Prashnopanishad. And here Shabdat. And Cha means conjunction to include all organs. Anu means liyante, to merge. So with this, the first Adhikaranam is also over, or the second Pada. So the essence of the Adhikaranam is what? In the case of a dying Ajnani, the functions of all sense organs, they dissolve into the mind. Even after sense organs stop functioning, the functioning of the mind continues. Even after sense organs, they all stop, the function of the mind continues. Emotions come, feelings come, and thereafter mind merges into the tejas and tejas into the devata, as given in the Chandogya Mantra. You'll see more in the next class. Tu Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakritilinasya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Sri Krishna Arpanamastu.